I believe God wants to sweep the American teenagers, don't you? But I want to tell you something. I didn't just fall off the turnip truck. I talked to well over a million teenagers face to face, several million more by television and radio and videos. I'm here to tell you that the American teenager will not be swept unless our homes are swept. Would you not buy into that? God save our homes, amen? Oh, I heard amen. I was worried about it. When I said amen, I thought, that's right, Presbyterians don't say amen like that. But you did. You better watch it. You might become a Baptist church. See, it's in the air. You come into this Baptist building, something comes over you. And everybody's saying amen. Next thing you know, you'll be taking three offerings. Can an altar call be far behind, for crying out loud? And you know, God isn't going to sweep our homes till He sweeps fathers. Let's just say it right off the bat. I believe America rises and falls, and whether men will be men or boys with noise. Simple as that. When men decide to be men in their homes, God sweeps the home. Because women are natural responders, and they just don't know what to do when men start leading and loving at the same time. Turn that around, loving and leading at the same time. So, they gave me a half hour to speak. I can't get my jokes out in a half hour. So I'll be brief. Ephesians 6:4. Pretend you're a Baptist and repeat after me. And fathers? No, you're sounding too much like Presbyterians. One more time. And fathers? Do not provoke your children to anger. But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This morning I want to talk to you fathers. Let's pray. God, anoint this talk. Show me what to slice and what to add. And move us, God, save our homes. You have broken down every wall. You are our peace. Now save our homes. Break the walls down in our families. In Christ's name, amen. I want to take that verse apart. Ephesians 6:4, it says, and fathers, do you see it there? Notice the Apostle Paul doesn't say mothers, sisters, aunts, cousins, uncles. He says, and what? You say, Dawson, I say, what? You say, why does he say, and fathers? Because I believe, and the Bible is clear about this, that God wants the leadership, the vision, the administration, that is the way the family should be run, should be directed by fathers. Now, you single mothers, I'm not here to insult you. Do your best and pray that it's blessed, and God will take care of the best. The rest, because He is a God of grace. But would we not all agree that families do well when fathers lead? I didn't say be bullies, I said lead. And it's not easy to be a father. You say, Dawson, is it hard to talk to 10,000 students? No, I'm wired to do it. I can't explain it, you can't explain it, but I'm wired to do it. Is it easy for Max to get up and do this tonight? Yes! He's gifted! Come on! He's wired to do it. But I'll tell you what, the toughest thing I'll ever do is be a father. Anybody can be a weekend warrior now. It's hard. Of course, it's hard for you wives, too. The Bible says, wives, submit to your husbands. I love those submission verses. I don't know. I think they're wonderful. I like that 1 Peter 3 I try to get my wife to buy into all the time. Winning without a word. I like that. Here's what I don't like about my wife. Can I tell you right off the bat what I don't like about my wife? I want to get this off my shoulders this morning, my chest. Ready for this? She's right about 98% of the time. I hate that. It's not easy to submit, wives. But then God says to husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Try that out. You say, Dawson, that's impossible. You got that right, except in the power of the Holy Spirit, all this is impossible. Now, God says to children, honor and obey your fathers. You think that's easy? It's not. Then God turns around Ephesians 6:4 and says, fathers, make it easy for your children to obey. So the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6:4, if every father would just follow Ephesians 6:4, America would be swept. The Apostle Paul says what not to do and what to do. First he says what not to do. Repeat after me, and fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. You say, Dawson, what does that word provoke mean? Do not provoke your children to anger. It means to exasperate or frustrate or bully or humiliate or belittle or wound or push into a corner. God says to fathers, don't push your children into a corner. Don't humiliate them. Don't wound them. Don't hurt them. Don't exasperate them. Don't try to get their goat. Don't try to frustrate them. Don't do it. And it's easy to do. It's easy to do. There's a lot of different ways that you can do it. First of all, we can provoke our children to anger. And by the way, I've been talking to teenagers for 23 years. Now, I'm not as old as I look. I started when I was 7. Get into a Baptist church with a Presbyterian audience and lie. If you believe that, I got oceanfront property for you in Kansas. I've been speaking to students for over 23 years. You ready for this? In all of my years, never have I seen them so angry. They're angry. You say, Dawson, why do they do Russian roulette, sexual roulette, with AIDS and STD? They're angry. It's a form of suicide. Why are they steal? Why are they hate? Why are they? They're angry. They're angry. They got angry in their home. Do not provoke your children to anger. Now, you can provoke them by under-disciplining them. Did you know that? Did you know that you can get your children angry by under-disciplining them? Now, if you were to say to a teenager or to a person even younger than that, do you like being disciplined? Most of them would at first say no. But if you really talk to them for a while, they would say yes. One time I was in Philadelphia. We had all this time, unlike this morning. So I had to stall. So I said, let's write down all the things that are wrong with our parents. That took quite a while, by the way. But right at the top of the list is, they don't discipline me enough. When a child is truly disciplined, by the way, teenagers, don't get mad at me. God calls you a child, by the way, just in passing. Don't get mad at me now. Till you leave, you're out from under your parents' roof. Yeah. So, okay, so if I say child, don't freak. It's all right. Hey, we're all children, aren't we? I'm God's child, aren't you? Sometimes I act like a child. Hey, we're all in this together. When a child realizes that their parents love them enough to discipline them, then they feel secure. A lot of ways you can under-discipline. Giving in to all the demands of your child. Have you been to a supermarket lately? Threatening 3 or 4 times before giving the discipline. One warning is enough. Inconsistency in disciplining. Mom and dad disagreeing in front of the kid. Oh, that's a good one. Then get grandma and grandpa in the act. Let's get a whole family tree going. Screaming at a child. When you scream at a child, you just said you won. By the way, never argue with a teenager. You cannot win an argument with a teenager. You're looking at Mr. Expert. You will never win an argument. By the way, an expert's just a little spurt away from home. But nonetheless, you never want to argue with a teenager. Not suiting the discipline with the offense. If my 8-year-old son should ever cuss out my wife, his mother, and he might, people say, oh, I've got a perfect home with no problems. I say, what are you, dead or comatose? Hey, blood on my carpet, blood on yours now. And he might. I want you to know that he will get more than watch your tongue, son. Speaking of my son, I want to tell you a story. I guess it was a couple of years ago. We were all watching television. It was really a Kodak moment. Mom, Dad, and Junior. Then it's time to put Junior to bed. Really moving time. Mama goes in, and I was going to go in. Mama's going to go in first, and I was going to go in. Usually I go in first, and Mom has the finishing touches. She comes back in. She says, Dawson, we got a problem with your boy. Oh, I like that. My boy, all of a sudden, my problem. She said, I was in the Christian bookstore yesterday, and he stole 3 balloons. Isn't that nice? You speaker's son goes into the Christian bookstore and steals 3 balloons. He's never heard the story of Ananias and Sapphira, you know? She said, so what are we going to do about it? Especially you. Well, hey, stealing ain't going to get it. as they say in Texas, flat out won't get it. So I went in there. Now we have the timeout chair. That's where you stop and think about your crime. That's for misdemeanors. If you do felonies, you get the brush. The Board of Education to the seat of knowledge. You got that, didn't you? Even the choir's got their eye off my bald spot. They're starting to listen now. You guys all awake back there? Everybody here? Hey, there we go. Very good. So I went in there, and it hurt. I spanked him. It was kind of interesting, though, because while I was spanking him, wham, wham, I looked down in on the balloons that said, happiness is knowing Jesus. I don't know. I just couldn't put it all together. You say, well, was that the end of it? No, that wasn't the end. The next day I was supposed to go speak at Memphis, but I had to start earlier. Not only had he done that, he borrowed $2.47 from Grandpa's chest of drawers and hadn't returned it yet. We're talking about the five-finger discount, folks. No, we went to that bookstore the next morning. There was Miss Susan. I said, now, son, we're going to give our speech. We're taking these balloons back. And we're going to say, Miss Susan, I stole 3 balloons from your bookstore, and I'm returning them. Will you forgive me? Then we're going to go see Grandpa and say, Grandpa, don't press charges, but I stole. We got there to Miss Susan's bookstore, and he started to cry. Now what am I going to do? Take him out in the car and get the brush out again? Somehow Miss Susan coaxed him through all of this. He asked for forgiveness. Then I went and I bought him a little gift. It was a star in the back of the bookstore. It had Usher written on it. He thought it was a sheriff's badge. Although I've seen a few ushers act like sheriffs. Freeze, kid, or I'll kill you. Sit down or you got. Then we went to see Grandpa. I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed. Did you like it? No. Was it time consuming? Yes. Were you embarrassed? Yes. Were you confused? Yes. But I'll tell you what. Better me and the brush at age 6 than the judge at age 18. Better Miss Susan at the Tree of Life bookstore than homosexually violated in some cold cell. Better me any day of the week. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:18, discipline your son in his early years while there is hope. If you don't, you will ruin his life. Now you baby boomers, I know what you're like because I'm one. I'm an old boomer. Yes, we're so cool, we're uncool. We're so relevant, we're irrelevant. We're so afraid of being odd in front of our kids because we thought our parents were so odd. Hey, we're not here to run a popularity contest with our kids. They'll love us later. Right now, I got to help them walk with God. Then, of course, we can fall on the ditch of the other side. We can provoke our children to anger when we over-discipline them or discipline them in anger. Hey, every one of you in this room, now, I don't care if you're 85. I mean, I care, but for this illustration, I don't. Ready for this? You remember a time when your parents or your dad disciplined you out of anger. Think. And you never forgot it. Because deep in your mind, you knew when the discipline was fair and out of love, or whether it was out of anger and rage, you remember. Yes, you do. Child knows. Child knows. What is discipline out of anger? Unfair discipline? When we punish a child for something that is inconvenient to the parent? Punishing a child for an accident? You ever done that? Constantly criticizing your child? Hey, you young fathers, listen to me. You want your kid to have healthy self-esteem, your child? Watch this. Give him positive goals, positive statements.
You never want to say, you little loser, you little rugrat. You'll never be what your brother or sister was. You'll always be a failure. Those kinds of words should never come out of your mouth. You are a beautiful child. You are a strong child. In Christ, you have a great future. In fact, if you have really young children, 2, 3, 4, make up an I Love You tape and play it as they go to sleep at night. Get mellow music in the background, and then in the tape, your mother and dad love you. You are a special person. God has given you to us. We believe in you. Too many kids have low self-esteem because they have been trashed by the cutting words of their parents. Kid comes to me in Ohio, had this little family doodah meeting. I'm Baptist, so there was an altar call. Don't worry, I don't think we'll break into one this morning. It'll be all right. And everybody's, all heaven breaks loose. After it's over. Notice how I said that? All heaven broke loose. What do you say, Martha? But anyway, after it was over, one kid came up, little skinny arms. I say sixth grade, Coke bottle glasses, and his eyes kind of shake, and he stutters. He goes, Mr. McAllister. Ha, 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 ha. How can I love my dad? I said, what do you mean? He said, when I was a little boy, I wet the bed and my dad beat me with a belt. Now listen, you young fathers, you don't spank your child for wetting the bed. Little boys' alarm clocks aren't as good as little girls, and they can sleep through these things for a while. The belt won't help. He said, so now I don't wet the bed. But my dad still says, I'm not a man. Now tears are flowing down his cheeks. And he says, Mr. McAllister, how can I love my dad? And I wanted to get a hold of his dad in the name of Jesus, you understand. Wham, wham! And say to him, what exactly is your problem that you should so violate this boy's manhood? And then, of course, we can provoke a child to anger when we don't earn the right to discipline. You say, now, wait a minute, Dawson, I've been tracking with you so far, but now you are getting off the track. I knew you would. I have the right to discipline. They are my child. These are my children, and I will discipline. Yes, but unless discipline is done in an atmosphere of love, it is not discipline, it is abuse. And the only way you can have an atmosphere of love with your child is to spend time with them so they know they are loved. And that hurts. That hurts. Hey, forget all the other things I said. Get this. You ever had this happen in your church? Perhaps it only happens in Baptist churches. Some kid at 16 or 17 goes flat out haywire. Flipped out, doing drugs, freaking out. And the dad, Joe Marine, says, I don't get it, Pastor. Every time the church doors were open, he was here. Big, hairy deal. That's not enough. It's not like some mist falls upon our kids because they're here for an hour or two a week. Sorry. Nice try. And I can't understand why he is so rebellious. Get this? Repeat after me. All rules, without relationship, equals rebellion. Don't ever forget that. Now watch this. All relationship, without rules, equals chaos. You say, Dawson, how in the world am I going to walk down the middle? All rules without relationship equals rebellion. All relation without rules equals chaos. How can I walk down the middle of the road in the power of the Holy Spirit on our face before a holy God? I'm telling you, men, there's nothing tougher than being a father. So difficult is it, we cannot do it without the Holy Spirit leading us moment by moment by moment by moment. If you're not walking with God, you're messing up with your kid, trust me. Hurts.
Little boys need their fathers around to develop images of what it means to be a man. A daughter needs a father to develop her sense of femininity. Don't want to understand what to expect from masculinity. Studies show that fathers deprived girls show extremes of either promiscuity or withdrawal from males. And you don't want either one.
Are these your daughters here, sir? That one? I bet you want her, when she gets married, to be a virgin. I bet you do. Now, there are worse things than her losing her virginity, but I bet you do. I'm going to help you out. How old is she? She's 5 years old. Starting this week, you take her out on a date every week, just the two of you, and you treat her with love and respect, and you listen to her. You do that every week, all the way through till she gets married, and you will protect her. And when some yahoo comes along and tries to use her and abuse her and dropkick her through the goalposts of life, she will know the difference. She was loved by a man, her dad. Too many men are throwing their daughters at somebody else's door. There are some, last night in America, 3,000 girls got pregnant out of wedlock. Half of them will abort, looking for love they never got from their dad. Now, of course, the missus is going to get on you and say, how about my date as well? Don't write me hate mail.
I'm on the radio, talking to adults, Memphis, Tennessee. Woman calls me on the radio, live channel 5, no jive, whatever that means. She calls. She says, you're a youth expert. I said, that's right. She says, my husband's a trucker. I'm not against truckers. Somebody's got to drive those things, not me. I pull a horse trailer and flip it almost every time just going around the curb. She says, he's gone a long time. Sometimes he's gone for a couple months at a time. She says, my older son is starting to show effects that he's gone so much. And she says, my younger son, she says, well, I don't think he's showing effects yet. There's a woman in denial, by the way, if she can't see both of them. She said, what should I do? I said, is he a Christian man? She said, yes. I said, you tell that your husband to get on his knees and ask God to give him another job. 2 calls later, I knew it was going to happen. It wouldn't be a man, it was a woman. She calls up, she is irate. Yea, verily, verily, hacked off. She says, how dare you tell that woman to do that? I said, now, ma'am. When I say that, look out, here it comes. I said, God never, ever asked us to do one principle and violate another in the process. Number one, he says, if we don't take care of our children, we are worse than the worst pagan. On the other hand, he says this, we're to nurture them in the things of Jesus Christ and to love them, and we can do both. It just takes working on priorities. We can do both. Does it hurt? Sure it hurts. I'm at this big, big, mucky, muck Baptist church. Big, 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 big church. We're talking big. Us Baptists, we can count numbers. We're talking big. Pastor says, Dawson, it's good to have you Sunday night, but I got to go. I got to take my daughter to a doctor. Well, as it turned out, it was a psychiatric ward. And I saw them leave, and I said to the youth pastor there, I said, what happened? He said, he grew up a church and lost his family. Don't you let your pastor do that now.
See, these are things you shouldn't do. What should you do? Quickly, very quickly. Watch this. Man, listen, I got 3 minutes, so let's talk. You teaching your kids how to pray? You say, well, the missus is doing that. No, this isn't the buddy system. God says, fathers, you nurture them in the things of Jesus Christ, Ephesians 4. She's going to help, and she's still going to make you look bad no matter what you do, because she's mom. Hey, you teaching your kids how to handle finances? You teaching your kids how to walk with Jesus Christ? Do they walk into your room and find you on your knees before a holy God? Sunday school's overrated. I just said that. Baptists hate that when I say that. Hey, it's won or lost in the home. Nothing wrong with Sunday school. My kid's terrorizing one right now. I'm almost out of time, but I got to tell you this joke. Did you like my transition? Typical Baptist is out of time, but he wants to tell a joke. A teacher stands up in front of the class. She says, now, fourth grade teacher, she says, now, class, I will give $10 to anybody who tells us who is the greatest religious leader of all time. Jewish boy stands up. He says, ma'am, Jesus Christ. Teacher gives him the $10 and says, that's right, little boy, but I'm surprised. I thought you'd say Abraham or Moses or one of the prophets. I'm surprised that you said Jesus Christ. He said, ma'am, church is church, but business is business. You say, Dawson, why did you tell that joke? I'll tell you why. Stay with me, and I'm going to wrap this babe up in a second. Because in far too many of our homes, church is church, but business is business. And if they don't, hey, if kids don't see Jesus Christ in your life, they're not going to buy into church. Flat out. Why? Because I want to be like you, Dad. Kid down the road got killed not too long ago. Went to his funeral. 16 years old. Helped me break horses. It was awful. Come home from the prom. Pulled out in front of a Mack truck. Or a big, I shouldn't, a Mack-like truck. And was killed. Went to the funeral. I don't like funerals. Neither do you. But it says in Ecclesiastes it's a good place to go. Think about life and death. I want to sit in the back. But I'm late. There's only two seats left for me and the missus. Right behind the family. Open casket, Church of Christ folk, country folk. I'm sitting there and I watch that father and that mother get up and stand by that casket for what I thought was an eternity. And finally he said, goodbye, Chris. And they closed the casket. And I wept. And I said, Lord, what are you trying to show me? I have two boys, 1 8, 1 4. He said, now, Dawson, there are no guarantees except my guarantee of love. He said, now, Dawson, all I guarantee you is today. Make the most of today. Are you doing that? Did you read about the story in San Jose? True story. These two guys are driving down the road. True story. Read it in the paper. True story. This guy's driving down the road. He sees a van. Two guys. I see a van in front of him and a four-year-old boy is hanging onto the van. The van's doing 55 miles an hour and he's hanging on the back of the van. Four-year-old boy. Frantically, they pull this man over. Well, this man had just gone to see his estranged wife and this boy and was leaving. The man said, when I finally pulled over and talked to my son, he was confused. And then about what had happened, I said, son, why were you clinging to the back of the van? You know those steps they have on the back of the van? Some of them going, why were you clinging to the back of the van? And my son said, I just wanted to be with you, Dad. Is that some kind of a crime? I think not. Listen, men, the jobs come and the jobs go. The greatest possession you'll ever have outside of Jesus Christ is your wife and children. They are cherished. Do you love them? Do you love them? Then don't provoke them to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Let's pray. If you're not right with God in this area, and I'm on my way home and I got two boys waiting for me and I'm dead tired. I left it all on the stage and last night and the night before and this morning. I left it all on the stage. And I'm going to a radio show tonight. But I'll tell you what, my boys want me now. Are you right with the Lord in this? Are you really loving your kids? If you're not, confess it. Humble yourself. We're so proud, it's ridiculous. But humble yourself and talk to your wife about it. And go home and tell your kids you're going to do better. In the Lord, you're going to love them better. My son almost died this year. Had serious seizures, almost died. I wept on the way to the hospital. I wept and I said, God, all the time, I just blew it. If he lives through this, he's going to see a different kind of dad. I'm telling you, men, they're prized possessions. Do you love your boys, men? Do you love your boys? Then spend time with them and help them walk with God. Don't you love your daughter? Then hold her, man. Take her out on the date and tell her about Jesus and live the Christian life in front of her. Because in just a few short years, they are gone forever.